coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio. Located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
Welcome to Hagman. It is Monday, July 24th, 2023. I'm Doug Hagman. Thank you so much for your belief and trust in this platform. What I'm about to go over with you today is I put together in the same fashion I would if I was presenting this to a jury. I am going to provide to you information, direct information, tell you what I know now that something has happened. And that's something that has happened was an interview last week between Patrick Byrne and Alex Jones. Okay. That in the wake of the publication of his magazine, that's Patrick Byrne's magazine, the Capital Times. And I wanted to wait for it because I'm going to tell you what I know. What I know in the venue of what will be taking place, or what the deep state administrative state objectives are, and providing you with exhibits and pieces from that interview. Now, not all of that interview. I was kind of frustrated during that interview because of the different interruptions. However, and I love Alex. Okay, great guy, but Patrick had a lot to say. And Patrick Byrne, in the event you don't know this, has worked, and this was publicly confirmed by General Michael Flynn and one other government insider, has worked for John Brennan, for the CIA, basically, as well as James Comey. Let me flip that around. Patrick Byrne was an FBI and CIA asset. In case you didn't know that. So he does know that of which he speaks. He has, he's done what we've done in the past. As we, right now, we're facing, we're on the brink of nuclear war. North Korea has threatened a nuclear war, or nuclear attack, based on our exercises. Military exercises. Russia, of course, threatening, implying the use of nuclear weapons should Ukraine go to NATO. We're seeing the freezing out of certain individuals, including Zelensky of Ukraine, even by the deep state. Meanwhile, on the economic side, we're looking at right now nearly 100 U.S. banks to close. We're looking at the potential for an economic collapse, and we're looking at a worldwide famine. All of this planned, complements of the administrative or deep state, the world deep state. Meanwhile, you've got Harari, that creature, saying that there is no such thing as a deep state. There's no such thing as central planning, when in fact there is. I want to start out with, we have an invasion of military age men at our southern border. Now, I'm going to start where I just left off there and bring you a number of clips from a recent Law and Border episode by Ben Berquam. I'm going to tell you what you're about to see has been planned going back to the Bush years, but specifically the trigger was pulled with Obama. Please carefully watch each clip, whether it's from this particular source video or the next source video or any of the images that I put up, links to articles and reports, specifically reports, which, by the way, will be available at HagmanPI.com under today's episode. Just click on the headline. That opens up everything at HagmanPI.com. And please, I ask you one more time, again, the way we are able to be seen is for you to subscribe to us on Rumble. Subscribe to us on Brighteon. You don't even have to give us a thumbs up, thumbs down, whatever. But I'll tell you what, if you do, great. But please do that. But I want to start out with the invasion of the southern border, because this is perhaps one of the more important components of what will be taking place in the very near future. Well, let me rephrase that. What the administrative state has planned to take place in the very near future. This is from Law and Border with Ben Berkwam. There are a total of six clips from this hour-long episode, which was just aired, I believe, over the weekend. And I'm going to play clip, or have Eric the Tech play clip one right now. This is clip one from Source Video A, Law and Border with Ben Berkwam.
You want to see just how not closing the border Joe Biden and the Democrats are right now? This is where people are crossing right now. They're not crossing at the moment because Mexican immigration officials saw that we were filming down here, so they came down to make it look like they're going to stop people. You have a bunch of people lined up ready to cross. This is where they were crossing. We saw about 40 cross. I saw over 100 that had just crossed. But what we see going on right here is apparently Border Patrol wants to change where people are crossing. So they've actually got an excavator down here clearing the path simply to allow the massive flow that's coming in that Joe Biden and Secretary Marcus have invited. They are clearing out all of this. Unbelievable.
That's what's going on right here. They know the invasion's coming, and so they're creating a path to get up there. Don't listen to what they say. Watch what they do.
Yeah, we come from ex-communists. There's Romanians here. There's Russians. There's Ukrainians.
That is taking place right now. They are actually making paths, better paths, to get from Mexico into the United States illegally. That's part one, clip one. Go ahead and play clip two.
Walk through the camp. The truth about what Adrian was saying becomes even clearer. All these policies are doing is driving people out of their homes, inviting them to our border, and leaving them to rot in their own filth. This is what Democrat socialist policies in action look like.
All right, so we are back in Brownsville, up on the Levee Road, and man, I've been down here a lot of times, never seen it like this. Secretary Mayorkas, the reason he put on that dog and pony show today was because they know what's happening here. It is out of control, and it's all because of their policies. I mean, this is wild. Check this out.
They just got a new group they're taking in. Holy cow. All under the tent there. That's that group that just came in. Whole another group all out over here. And more down there.
They can't run the energy sector. They can't stop runaway inflation. They can't fix the homeless epidemic. They can't stay out of wars around the world. They can't tell us what a woman is. But apparently, they can run this new illegal immigration industry to perfection.
As Joe Biden and Secretary Mayorkas say that the border is closed, clearly, it's not. It's only getting worse. And just like we see everywhere else on the border, absolute environmental disaster. Everything you see right there is garbage. They come across illegally. They dump their garbage. They dump their IDs. They dump what they don't want because they know they're going to get new stuff from you, and they head in. That's what leftist open borders gives you.
They're doing this out in the open. They don't care if you know. This is an invasion. As a matter of fact, the numbers, which I'll get to momentarily, are staggering. I mean, I had to do a double take. Ben Berkwam in one of these clips might give you the numbers. I'm not sure. But you're looking at exceeding the population of 35 states in the United States during Biden's tenure alone. Let's go to clip three. again, rapid succession here. I'm building to a point, but these are all elements of that point. Clip three.
We just got back here to Yuma, Arizona. You can tell how much traffic there's going to be in this area. There already is in this area. They've added these massive tents here. It looks like they can hold somewhere between 500 and 1,000 people. And I've never seen this before. This has to be one of the most ridiculous things I've ever seen. So they've got, they used to have the Homeland Security packets. I guess they ran out of those, so they just have little plastic slips. But this is incredible. They have a bag of bag tags, Homeland Security bag tags. So, you know, if you show up early, now, typically in this area in particular, it's all run by the cartels. All this is run by the cartels. And everyone who's supporting this, Mayorkas, Biden, they're only supporting the cartels. But this area used to be kind of all over the place, used to be during the day and at night. Now it's pretty much between midnight and 4 a.m. That's when the cartel sends the people over. So there's nobody here. But I guess they decided, well, if you show up early, you can do it yourself. I mean, I've never seen that before. That is one of the dumbest things I've ever seen. I mean, how secure do you feel as an American citizen now? The reason there's no border patrol here is because this is all coordinated by the cartels when they send the people up. And it's become regular that they don't start showing up till after midnight. So we're going to go down and check around where they've been coming through and see what's left behind.
So that clip alone should tell you, should prove to you, thank you, Ben, that DHS is acting in cooperation with or assisting the cartels. And the cartels have operational control of our entire border. If you're watching this, as opposed to listening to this, if you're watching this on one of the platforms, you can see where he's been, okay? Actually, he's been pretty much all of the waypoints on the 1,969-mile border from the Gulf to the Pacific. I'm not sure if he's working his way west in this series or in this series of clips or not. But regardless, you can see. But for them to leave DHS bag markers there or bag tags there, meaning, hey, just bring it on in, fill it out yourself, to prove it yourself, it's absolutely an impeachable offense. It's a treasonous offense. Mayorkas is behind this. At that level, above him is Biden's crew. Biden's not really in charge of anything. He can barely function, but it's Biden's regime. And above that, of course, is the United Nations, the NGOs working with the UN, and them answering to the larger globalists, including the WEF, including national versions, well, the Trilateral Commission, and others. We're going to continue quickly. Next clip, if you don't mind. We're at clip four? Okay, let's go to clip four.
Is Democrat America?
Ben leaves the wall and makes way to the port of entry.
Came over to the San Ysidro port of entry. What have we got here? We got one of the buses lining up. This is the new game. This is the new scam. Biden, Mayorkas, saying it's all legal, but everyone, basically everyone, is being paroled through CBP-1. So they come across, whether they come across legally or illegally, they're all put on the CBP-1 process, and then they're sent in. So that's really what it is. We've got these leftist organizations behind us that are then given the contracts. Here, groups like El Otro Lado, Catholic Charities, Lutheran Social Services.
All right, he just named three NGOs, Catholic Charities, and of course you've got the Jewish charity, and some others. We have the names, and of course we're doing some deep backgrounds as to who is really behind all, who are behind these particular charities to really expose each and every one of these individuals. Again, I'm getting to a point here. These are all components to one leg of a multi-legged table that is supporting this great reset, as you've heard. Let's go to clip number five.
I'm sorry, who are you with?
Sorry, can you record here, please?
Oh, no, I can.
No, you can't.
No, I can. Here. Thank please, you. What's
you
your name?
Thank you. No.
Are you guys, who are you guys with?
No.
You don't answer questions.
Please, we can't answer that question.
Jewish Family Services, so there we go. That's one of them.
That's okay.
So why were you telling people not to talk?
Because you're being rude to them.
Sadly, this is what you have. So you have people, like my friend over here, from Nigeria, who's escaped Boko Haram. He just showed me the scar in his leg from being hit with the machete. And then you have organizations like Jewish Family Services, they just gave me the card, that are basically profiting off this. I was having some good conversations with people online. She went up and rudely told them not to talk to me. I asked her why they shouldn't be talking to me, and she said I was being rude to them. This is it, though. You got these controlling communist organizations that then they have people come in through this process. They make money on all this. They get grants from the federal government, which you pay for, taxpayers pay for. And then the people come across. I want to talk to them. We're having a good conversation. And she shuts them down. This is the problem. These organizations are the problem. And they're making millions of dollars. And this whole new CVP1 application process Biden and Mayorkas are pushing through, it's basically just a way to bypass and change the definition from illegal to legal. I don't blame the people in line. I don't blame the people that are coming for a whole host of reasons. Now, whether or not they should be coming in, that's up to America to decide. But it's these organizations that are profiting off it that are the problem. Can you tell me what the contract, how many millions of dollars Jewish Family Services is making?
All right, so there it goes. That's the bus. Just did a quick live, wanted to show people what's going on here. Again, in this case, it was Jewish Family Services that was given the contract, apparently, to continue the trafficking here. That's the bus heading out to a community near you. We are down here in San Ysidro Port of Entry. I've been told that Customs is now having to process. Border Patrol's picking people up, even if they came illegally. They're bringing them under the building here, and they're having Customs process them, basically apply for them for CBP1, and then they're sending them out as if they came through legally. Well, that's all happening. Right up on this mountain, right behind us here, the cartel, they operate all this on the Mexico side. That's Mexico. Right over there, you can see the wall right there. That's Mexico. And while they're all distracted over here, every single night, they're pushing people over this mountain, and they're running down here, coming into the community. Last night, I was told that there was somebody came over the wall. They fell. They were injured. And while Border Patrol was responding, there were actually shots fired. As, from what I understand, 10 shots fired at Border Patrol. Thankfully, thank God, nobody was hit. But that's the danger that we're facing here. This is what we're dealing with. And the sad thing is, these organizations that are profiting and aiding and abetting this invasion, now they're claiming it's legal because they've changed the definition using the CBP1 app. It's still all illegal. They know it's all illegal. None of these people will qualify, but it doesn't matter because it just allows them to come in. So it gets them off the border, gets them out of the camps, makes it look like it's not a problem, and they send that problem to your neighborhood. That's what's happening here right now.
Because we got a call saying that you were just, you know, making people feel uncomfortable, harassing them, stuff like that.
Yeah, well, that was a lie. So okay. This is what happened was you had this organization out here,
yeah.
The Jewish Family Services.
Okay.
And we're just covering the invasion of the border, and basically we're documenting. Okay. I'm a journalist. Okay. And so I was actually talking to the people in line,
yeah.
And one of the girls went up and started telling them, don't talk to him, don't talk to him.
Okay.
And I asked her why, and she said, because I was being rude.
Okay.
Which was a lie. She just wanted to try to shut me down.
But you weren't like catching paper from me.
Never. I asked them if they would show me the papers,
yeah.
and if they said yes, then I was filming the papers, but
okay.
Never. I'll show you the video if you want to see it.
No, it's fine, sir.
So, no, I appreciate. I just hate that these organizations would try to use law enforcement to silence the First Amendment.
It
just, that's why, thank God we still have a free country.
Okay.
God bless you, man. Sir. Appreciate you.
Take care.
God bless.
All right. That'll do on the clips from Ben Berkwam. So, to recap on this subject alone with respect to the invasion of this country, since Joe Biden has taken office, the total number of illegal aliens, criminals, who entered the United States illegally, okay, is more than the population of 35 U.S. states. Think about that. Now, I remember being on Radio Row in 2018 with my son Joe, and we interviewed Tom Homan and others about what was taking place at the border. And through a series of interviews with numerous individuals related to border security, I could tell you this, the number of captures, the number of people coming over was down. The number of captures was up. The number of gotaways, way down. And I know how numbers can be fudged, but they brought the receipts to prove what I'm telling you. However, FAIR reported, and that's a Federation, let me just get that correct here. The Federation of American Immigration Reform. Now, throughout the 2020 campaign, and this has been reported by FAIR, Biden promised to extend amnesty to the illegals already in the U.S. Now, how many prior to Biden coming in, how many illegals were in the United States? The estimates vary. What, 12 million? 20 million. More like 20 million. Take that number at that time, well, through 2020, and now add the population of more than 35 U.S. states. Take 40%, anywhere between 40 to 60% to be more accurate, as opposed to precise, but more accurate, are men of military age, and a greater percentage today than ever before are from communist China. They're not getting here by rowboats or by rickshaws. They're getting here through organizations bringing them, paying for their travels to this country. Communist Chinese of military age. Why? Glad you asked that question. Again, this is one part. The intent here is to take America down from within. And this was revealed, and you're going to hear more about this, in a 1992 plan in a subsequent speech by General Chi Hochin. It's called The Secret Speech, and it was actually translated by the Epoch Times in 2005. And here is that right here. Okay, now this is page one in the show notes. You can put that on the screen if you would like. In this speech, it is mentioned that let me give you the bottom line, because the actual printed speech is 31 pages. What caught my attention, and everyone needs to read this speech, this is not some fantasy or fairy tale. These are plans by the communist Chinese. This is not some wackadoodle general of the CCP. This was a high-ranking general at that time. On my page, printed, page 20, there's a paragraph that states, conventional weapons such as fighters, cannons, missiles, battleships won't do. Neither will the highly destructive weapons such as nuclear weapons. We are not as foolish as to want to perish together with America by using nuclear weapons, despite the fact that we have been exclaiming that we will have the Taiwan issue resolved at whatever cost. Only by using non-destructive weapons that can kill many people will we be able to reserve America for ourselves. Remember Steve Quayle. Remember others talking about the goal of China is to colonize the United States, both for space and for food. Food being the most important, of course. Which ties in, And you can keep that up there, which ties in to, of course, what is taking place all across the world with banning fertilizer, banning, banning gas, banning fertilizer, banning, taking away farms at gunpoint, really decimating the farms in the Netherlands. But this speech goes on. This general goes on in the speech. There has been rapid development. Now, you got to remember, this is in the 90s. There has been rapid development of modern biological technology. New bioweapons have been invented one after another. Of course, we have not been idle. In the past years, we have seized the opportunity to master weapons of this kind. We are capable of achieving our purpose of cleaning up America of all of a sudden. My apologies. Again, the translation, a little rough. When Comrade Xiaoping was still with us, the party's central committee had the perspicacity to make the right decision not to develop, again, this is a translation, aircraft carrier groups, and focus instead on developing lethal weapons that can eliminate mass populations of the enemy country. From a humanitarian perspective, which is laughable in and of itself, we should issue a warning to the American people and persuade them to leave America and leave the land that they've lived to the Chinese people. Or at least they should leave half of the United States to be China's colony, because America was first discovered by the Chinese. But would this work? Now, this general goes on. This is an important statement. Furthermore, if the United States as the leader of the world is gone, then other enemies have to surrender to us. Biological weapons are unprecedented in their ruthlessness. But if the Americans don't die, then the Chinese have to die. Now, you can read this for yourself, but this general is talking about creating weapons, biological weapons, that are DNA specific, that impact, we'll say, only Eastern European stock, the white population, as opposed to the Asian or African American population. These are designer weapons. In this speech, he talks extensively about this. And he talks about two different scenarios. And when you read through this with respect to the biological weapons, it immediately sounds exactly like Wuhan. People inside the United States, well-respected, people that have been here forever, in government service forever, listen to what I'm telling you, acting on behalf of the communist Chinese. Think of the Chinese lockdowns and how Fauci praised those lockdowns and attempted, by way of the, of course, the National Institute of Infectious Diseases and the NIH, as well as the CDC and different medical organizations. Think about the draconian lockdowns, how everything played out during COVID. People say COVID was merely a run-up to the big event. Could be. Could be. Or maybe it was a failed attempt. And more are coming. I can tell you this, regardless, more are coming. In that 1992 speech, and subsequent to that, of course, we have seen different books come out, including Unrestricted Warfare, Communist Chinese, about the Communist Chinese. The Art of War, which is, of course, an older book. And if you've read those, you know what I'm talking about. There's a plan in action. One plan is being used by the Chinese. The other plan is being used with the Chinese to implement a single global order. Having said all of that, this brings us to the current day, well, the current age, and that was the election of 2016. Really, Donald Trump, it didn't matter if it was Donald Trump or John Smith. What mattered was Hillary Clinton. When I said, and I believe I did say this, and if not, I'm gonna. If I did, great. If not, I'm gonna. Either way, I'm gonna say it again. Patrick Byrne was on with Alex Jones, and I've got to tell you, he was an asset for the FBI and the CIA. He knows what he's talking about. He was interviewed, like I said, he was interviewed this past week, and the information that I know from other sources fits directly with what Patrick Byrne stated. I'm going to give you the end game objective. The motive is to take out, of course, the United States. If you ask the Chinese Communist Party what the motive is for the United States, it's to colonize for space and food. If you ask the World Economic Forum or some other similar organization, doesn't matter. It's to destroy the United States as a sovereign country. Because we fall, all nations fall. And they are doing that biologically, economically, and through the invasion, like I showed you. Extremely important invasion aspect. Because, remember the first Red Dawn movie. What happened? A critical component of that invasion, of that colonization of America in that fictional scenario was the sleeper cells coming through the southern border and having positions of power within very important parts of the government, infrastructure, and so on. I'm going to ask you a question now. How many people remember, and this will come up in this interview, well, this not specifically, but you'll get it. How many people remember Debbie Wasserman Schultz and the Imran, or the Awan brothers, Imran Awan and his brother, working in Congress as IT people in Congress, and being caught essentially sabotaging, well, hacking and then sabotaging the IT systems, various IT systems. Where are the Awan brothers from Pakistan? And of course, Pakistan, ISI, well connected. So you had the Awan brothers just back several years ago, working with and for Debbie Wasserman Schultz, as well as other members of Congress at that time in the IT department, having access to the entirety of the IT system in Congress. Think about that in what you hear next. What you hear next, in my particular view, is perhaps the most important interview Alex Jones has ever done. Because it's almost impossible to schedule Patrick Byrne on an interview. I don't want to wait for this. So I will take snippets from his interview last week, play them, hopefully in rapid succession. Please listen carefully, because he describes what happened. Remember when I said it's not Donald Trump, it could have been John Smith, but it had to be Hillary Clinton. In other words, it wasn't about Donald Trump. It wasn't about anyone. It had to be Hillary Clinton. That's the problem. People are thinking a little bit from a wrong angle, if you will. This is not about Donald Trump. This is about everyone else but Donald Trump. In other words, no outsider can ever again assume the office of the presidency, the executive branch. None. They can't. Why? Because of the plans that they have, that they're working. So what happened? Donald Trump accidentally, well, not accidentally, but they did not plan on the number of votes back in 2016 that Donald Trump got. And of course, they vowed that will never happen again. And of course, we saw in 2020, it didn't happen again. And despite the right, left, or actually Republican Congress for a while, the mechanisms of voting were never, ever changed. The fact that it's been proved that in one particular state, in one particular county, Pakistani ISI, by way of a thermostat, a smart thermostat, was able to access a machine and change the votes, should tell you everything. Oh, Pakistani ISI. Yeah, Imran Awan. I just happened to think about that again. In fact, if you don't mind, can we put page 4 up? In case people have forgotten about this. The IT guy and Wasserman Schultz. All right. If you want to know the background of Imran Awan, the W. Wasserman Schultz, if you haven't heard that name before, or if you've forgotten about it, here's a good refresher from the Washington Examiner. It kind of goes through chronologically what happened. Don't go to Wikipedia. Don't go to any of these leftist sites. Washington Examiner, this is a fairly decent article. It's far from complete, but it gives you a good overview of what happened, and that's the Washington Examiner. All right, we're going to move to source video B and do this as quickly as possible. Again, Patrick Byrne, a former the CEO of Overstock.com, drops major information on Jack Smith on January 6th. So, just to bring you up to speed again, Donald Trump gets in. The deep state, administrative state, says we can never let this happen again. As a matter of fact, we have to fight against him while he's in office, which, by the way, includes, in my particular opinion, based on my investigative research, his own attorneys, such as Pat Cipollone, and even his own chief of staff, Mark Meadows. They were working against him, and that is why, in part, that January 6th happened. But let's let Patrick Byrne explain this. What I've tried to do is I tried to cut out all of the unnecessary stuff and just get the meat of this interview. Clip 7, here it is.
My point in asking you to read this was this. This is the first time a federal prosecutor and now General Michael Flynn have confirmed that I've had a relationship with the government. I've actually had a very unusual relationship with the government for a very long time. So, and it's now been confirmed through that. So when I was in the, I pulled together the December 18th meeting and I pulled it together and I kind of, So I got it together without really either side. Anyway, there may have been a little mischief involved.
Newspapers that you organized those meetings. So that's not debatable. So what happened?
So, no, what was discussed, here's the whole thing. What the meeting was on December 18th had nothing to do with anything that's been reported. It was not about theories of South Korean jets pulling in ballots or vote flipping from space. Here's what it was about. It had nothing to do with that. The government itself, well, there's two buckets of things you need to know. And this is just what we walked the president through. Alex, I'll tell you, just like we did with the president. The one bucket of things was there were two executive orders signed, one by Obama and one by Trump, that said, and I think Trump was just extending Obama, but if a foreign government interferes in an election, a president gets extraordinary powers. And Obama had signed this, okay? So he wrote it. So, and he can do an investigation, he can rerun the election, anything in between. He really gets any powers he wants. So that was one set of things to know. And then the other thing set was the government itself, the federal government in the fall of 2020, put out statement after statement about the hacking that was going on. The December 9th annual report of the DHS identified hacking of our election as sort of right there on page two or three. But on October 20th or 22nd, they put out something saying Iran is targeting our elections. They're going after they're trying to hack into our elections. There's advanced persistent threat actors. And it was just an announcement that says Iran is trying to do this. Well, given the set of powers from the executive orders from Obama and Trump, think of it as like a scale. Does that pebble give enough weight to trigger those executive orders? I would say not. Not the DHS and CISA and FBI.
By the way, let me just stop you. I know about these executive orders. For those that don't know, that's how Obama put stay behind networks in the government to thwart Trump. With the $2 billion in the Defense Authorization Act of 2017 that he signed right before he left office, the Countering Foreign Disinformation Propaganda Act allowed him to put his people, his stay-behind networks, in, then labeled Trump a Russian agent with no evidence, then allowed them to engage basically in the soft coup that Trump was under for 4 years. So you were simply explaining this to Trump about the real powers he had.
But one part of the conversation which Sidney led was explaining to Trump the real powers he had. If a foreign government interferes in the election, now we're saying, Mr. President, what's the evidence that a foreign government has intervened in the election? Well, the federal government has now put out its own statements about what's going on. And first is a statement from October 23rd or so saying Iran is trying to hack our elections. Well, that by itself is not enough to trigger those presidential powers. But then on November 3rd, the federal government came out and said, and this was FBI, DHS, came out and said, Iran has successfully hacked one of our states' election rolls. Other states are now under attack, and other nation states are joining in the attack. Well, you add that pebble to the scale, and an argument could be made that that itself triggers, by what they said on October 24th and November 3rd, that itself triggers.
Sure, and we see John Kerry and Obama running their shadow government, making deals with Iran even when Trump's in, operating like Obama's still the president, working with Iran, I think probably working with them to run the attack, using them as a cutout.
Yeah, so that's all going on in the background, but we're staying.
Okay, what Patrick Byrne is referring to is this. Jack Smith, working from ahead and going backwards, Jack Smith, who is and has been a special prosecutor for the United Nations, has been called in to act as special prosecutor against Donald Trump. Okay, the intent here is for Jack Smith to indict Donald Trump on seditious conspiracy charges. Why? That will disqualify him per the 14th Amendment from ever running again. And plan B, if that does not work, then the secretaries of states in the blue states will not put Donald Trump on the ballot. Remember, this really is not that much about Donald Trump as it is about not Donald Trump, anybody but Donald Trump. However, and this was confirmed to me yesterday through a conversation I had with somebody close to President Trump's inner circle, during the period from November 14th through January 4th, at some point during that period, Melania Trump was told that should Donald Trump serve another term he would be murdered like JFK. Let's go to clip 8. I'm sorry.
Going on in the background, but we're staying very specific. We're not bringing to the president any magical theories about John Kerry or about South Korean jets filled with fake ballots. We're saying, Mr. President, your own government has issued this statement on October 23rd and this statement on November 4th. Well, that's not enough to trigger that, to trigger your special powers under the Obama executive order, Obama-Trump executive orders. But now let's look at what the government said on December 6th. On December 6th, they put forward something that said there's been this massive cyber attack across the United States, massive hacking. And then finally, and here's the kicker, on December 13th, the Director of National Intelligence, FBI, DHS, put out a statement that said the United States of America, corporate and government, has been hacked straight through to the teats. Pardon me. It's hacked. 500 Fortune 500 companies, 425 got hacked. The DHS, CIA, State Department, DOD, NSA, everyone you can think of, they announced on December 13th had been hacked. Why had they been hacked? Because they all used a product from SolarWinds called Orion. It was a network security product, and it turned out to have been hacked. And on December 13th, that was announced. In March, they announced, okay, we have identified it was the Russian FSB. But on December 13th, they, everything across government had been hacked. What? And so if you put that on top of it, on government and private, including CISA, including the network that the government that's supposed to be taking care of our elections. So
including the Office of Personnel Management hack, where the Chinese have everything.
The network security. So we were saying to the president, sir, it doesn't take any theories of vote flipping from space or South Korean jets or anything else. The federal government has made these four or five very powerful releases in the last 2 months. We believe these trigger your executive powers under Obama's executive order. And if you agree with that, you get a range of options from light, and this is where, so that's one set of questions where we're right about that. I made the argument, so it's all on me, Jack Smith. Put it, come after me first. I made that argument. Don't see anything, you know, you can't indict Trump for having listened to an argument. Now the question is then, what did we suggest to do? And I was the one who laid all of this out. Sidney Powell laid out the reasoning about the executive orders, and she and Mike Flynn answered a few questions about these federal announcements. What I laid out was simply this: Mr. President, you have a range of light footprint to heavy-handed options. We are recommending the lightest footprint there are, but there's three questions to answer, and on each question you're going to have a range of options from very light footprint to very heavy-handed. So are you ready to hear them? And he said yes, and I said okay. The first, if you agree from this set of facts that the government statements themselves about this hacking going on successfully against us triggers your orders, okay, we're asking you to run a very light investigation. You could do anything from a light investigation to a presidential commission to, you know, you can rerun the election if you want. We're saying let's do the lightest thing possible, a quick investigation. The three questions you need to answer are what is to be investigated, where is to be investigated, what is to be investigated, and who is to do the investigation. And I stopped and let him... And he got all that. So are you with me, Alex?
I'm listening.
You following me? Okay. The question is, where is to be investigated? Mr. President, we can just go into the six obvious counties where there's all this distress and they're shutting off ballot counting and all this crazy stuff. We could expand to 13 counties where we suspect, or we've selected a set of 31 counties that represent a real broad spectrum of America. City, suburban, rural, white, black, Hispanic, Democrat, Republican. And if we can go into 31 counties and investigate, we will finally be able to answer this question that has been dogging us for decades. How much fraud is there really? Or you can just keep it as minimal as the six.
Sure. And so what did President Trump say?
He immediately said, go with a six, go with, just keep it as light as possible. So that was the first question.
Okay, so I want to get next hour into what really happened, because you're there, they admit you were running the meetings, and Jack Smith is focusing in on this. What is Jack Smith going to claim? And then how soon do you think the indictment's coming, or is it not coming?
I can tell you, Jack Smith, what they're going to go for is to claim that the December 18th meeting was really about setting up January 6th, and that it was all some color revolution that was planned and all this kind of stuff. And it's all fantasy. It's all total fantasy. I was the guy who laid out those options. And based on the example I just gave you, Alex, wouldn't you agree that that's the most light-handed approach you could take? He said, let's just take – so he took he took of all the options that were ever given him, he always took the most light footprint possible. And and the only mention of January 6th was, I said, sir – this is going to take us 2 weeks. The paper says it'll take us 2 weeks. We really think we can get this done in a week, maybe in a few days. If we don't find what we think we're going to find, I think you need to concede as quickly as possible. He cut me off immediately to say, Patrick, you have no idea how easy that's going to be for me to do. I can, on January 20th, Marine One's going to land right over there. He was sitting at the Resolute desk looking out the window. He said, it's going to land right there, Patrick. I can walk out of here on January 20th, my head held high. I did more than anyone's accomplished. No problem. But can I really do that if I think that this election has been rigged and there's a foreign nation involved? How can I do that? So I found that to be a totally morally appropriate reason. And he leaned over another time. We had a moment alone as we went through a doorway, and he emphasized to me, Pat, you have no idea how easy it's going to be for me to walk out of here. If I lost this election, that's just fine. But if I think this is, By the way,
Roger Stone told me that too, that Trump was ready to go if they hadn't stolen it. He wanted to go play golf. He just wanted to fix the country. And we know all that. So we're going to go to break, come right back. But it's so crazy now that Jack Smith is going to try to claim those meetings are a plan to then have a bunch of feds and Ray Epps attack the Capitol. I mean, are they crazy enough to indict Trump and then try to convince a jury of that? That just sounds wild.
That's it. Yeah. Well, the only mention of January 6th was me when I said, Mr. President, you can't wait till January 6th and then ask us to do this investigation, that would be sore loserism. And he said,
they're totally hanging their hat. The January 6th was reported at that meeting. And that was you just bringing up that date when Congress certifies
right
it.
In the interest of time. All right. I'm going to have to not play five clips I had isolated due to time constraints. But here's the bottom line. Roughly 2 minutes after that meeting ended, Rudy Giuliani told President Trump, you can't do that. We'll all go to jail. Why? I don't have a clue. Maybe it's too much scotch. I don't know. That's what he said. He never went through with that. The entire indictment that you're going to be hearing about in the coming days or maybe even weeks has to do with the meeting on December 18th, attended by Patrick Byrne, Sidney Powell, General Michael Flynn, and another attorney by the name of Alyssa. Okay, now you can watch the entirety of that interview, and I urge you, please watch it not once, but twice. Finally, let's go to the last clip, clip 14, the bottom line here. What's this all about? What's to what end do they want to get rid of Donald Trump? Here it is, clip 14.
Yeah, and they've done it up the top of the supply chain. So it takes some time, a year or two, to work through. Well, they did it a year or so ago. So now the big shortages are working through, and I think they're going to hit before the end of this year, which is why people should be buying those products you sell about the prepping products.
Believe me, I wish, but that's just for individuals to be protected. So why are they? Why are the mega banks and others so? Is it because the dollar is coming to its end? The Ponzi scheme, we're going to have hyperinflation or we're going to have depression. I mean, is it because we're coming to the end? They just want the crisis to bring in the central bank digital currencies and the ESGs?
Well, I think it goes far, far beyond that. I think it's Cloward Pivens. They've never been down with constitutional Republican limited government. For 250 years, Central European powers have been against it. They want to destroy us. This is Cloward Piven reaching its end. It all collapses. They emerge in charge of some goon state is how they view it. Something like the Hunger Games, you know, and it may be true that they intend to starve 80 or 90% of us out. I think that what really happens, if you read the Chinese national security literature, the lefties here are going along with that because that's how they think it ends. What really happens is then there's a 3-year period where the cartels and the UN blue helmets are given 3 years to rape, pillage, loot and burn and destroy America. When it's nothing but a carcass, the keys get handed off to China. They colonize. It solves the food problem that for 2,500 years, the Han have faced. One, the greatest problem they face is food. They colonize and they occupy us. And if that all sounds nutty, just read their national security. Look, I'll send you a link, Alex, the secret speech of Chur Haotian, the retiring minister of defense in 2003.
No, I know. And look at how America's already been humiliated, how we've been trained to just accept all this.
Yeah,
but you're right. They soften us up with collapse for 3 to 5 years. Then the Chi-Coms come in as the saviors with the UN.
No, I think they don't come in. Yeah, I think something like that. I think that the cartels get 3 years to just completely, once they have collapsed our supply chains. So this was all studied 20 years ago in D.C. Whatever the crisis, whether it's Ebola, whether it's an EMP, whether it's financial crisis, if the crisis is bad enough, supply chains collapse. Within 2 weeks, we go through a tipping point in society that we can't tip back out of. And in the following year, 90% of us die. And it doesn't matter. So this is all. There's a book called One Second After that you should know. It captures a bunch of learnings from a national security.
No, I've read it. No, you're absolutely right. And so that's why they started with the COVID lockdown was to cattywampus it and only shut down their competition to vertically consolidate for the big companies to get ready to weather this storm. So COVID was them battening down the hatches before they go to the next phase.
And then the next phase is I think we go through another even bigger moment sometime in the near future, another COVID, an Ebola, a financial collapse, who the heck knows what, it collapses. Then we have, if it all goes according to their plan, we have like a year where 90% of us die. Somewhere in there, the cartels and everybody are just told we become like a Mad Max territory for 3 years. And then when we're nothing but a husk, the Chinese take us. And if you don't believe me, read the book Unrestricted Warfare by 2 Chinese colonels. Or the secret speech. I'll send Alex the link after this show. Or 100 years. So that's what happens by 2028. I'll put it this way: their plan since 1949 was to conquer us by 2049, to reduce us to a vassal state. In 2010, they changed the due date to 2030. They now believe it's 2028 or 2027. Deeds have already been issued in China. Alex, some Chinese general has a deed to your home there in Texas, and he probably looks on Google Earth once a month. He sees the new hot tub you put in your backyard. He thanks you for it. He believes he's living there by 2028. That's how they've already distributed the deeds in China to homes across America.
By the way,
and he should know, given his background, the reason that's important, that particular clip is important. He talked about the cartels, and that's why I played those segments from Ben Berkwam, Law and Border. Remember what he said about the cartels having operational control over a large part of the border. It's going to get worse, and it's going to grow into the interior of the country. That's part of the plan. Ultimately, supply chain disruptions and the killing, whether it is through biological weapons, as a reference in this secret speech that we showed you, that's coming. This is coming, or at least that's what they have planned. Executive Order 13848 was the executive order discussed on December 18th that could have been implemented had it not been for Rudy Giuliani, Mark Meadows, Pat Cipollone, and others, deep state within the White House and outside of the White House, Republican and Democrat, lawyers and non-lawyers. Folks, we're in a world of trouble. I hope that made sense. Eric Tuck, did it make sense to you?
Yes, sir.
All right. Good to see you today. Folks, thank you. God bless. Please share this program. Tell others about it. And subscribe. God bless.